This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Yeah, chatting football for the foreseeable future in the presence of footballing legend England, Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom, Leeds United, of course, and that is Carlton Palmer. Good morning, good afternoon, Carlton.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. I mean, as I was saying to you, the weather's picked up here now, so it's a lovely 22, 23 degrees here. It's just this time of the year in Shanghai, it's just beautiful now.
It's starting to get nice here as well, but then we're expecting apparently more Beast of the East. We could have a White Easter, we're expecting. So enjoy your weather, Carlton. We're not jealous at all.
Well, I mean, it's you know, you're looking at, what is it now, becoming the beginning of April now, and you've had so much bad weather, it's untrue. I mean, like, we have the four seasons here in Shanghai, but we know at a certain date the weather's going to change. We know that.
I'm just hoping. We've had a nice weekend, and I think everybody's lulled into a false sense of security now that that's it, we're sorted. But no, it's going to come back and hit us, I'm sure. Let's talk.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate. Let's talk England, because it's international break at the moment, Carlton, which, you know, for a lot of people that are very, very much club over country, it's a very disappointing time of the year. I think Leeds are probably just happy to have a little bit of a break from some games. But England against the Netherlands over in Amsterdam on Friday. A 1-0 win for England. What were your initial thoughts after that win?
I thought it was a good performance. I mean, to be honest with you, you can't take a lot out of these friendlies, right? But I thought it was a good performance. I like the front three. You know, Rashford, I'm a big admirer of Rashford, and I think he's going to, you know, fingers crossed he doesn't get an injury. He's going to be fresh going into the World Cup because he hasn't played a lot of football. The boy Sterling's having a magnificent season at Man City. Lingard impressed. I mean, he's a talented boy. The problem is you don't know which Lingard's going to turn up. I mean, if he performs like he can, then, you know, you've got a top player. I mean, he's definitely got the ability, and he's got the technical ability as well to play at that level. I was impressed with Gareth looking at Kyle Walker at centre back. I think he's improved defensively so much more since he's been at Man City. I mean, I always thought Kyle was a good player and a good offensive player, but a little bit lacking on his positional sense defensively, and used his pace at times to get him out of situations. But I think he's improved at Man City under Pep. And I think now, with his kind of pace, going in there and that relationship with Stones that he plays with, that affords England the opportunity of playing higher up the park, which, you know, possibly they couldn't do with the likes of Kale.
I suppose having an enforced injury to Harry Kane, it sort of gives him an opportunity to look at all other players and try out quite a few different options, really, over these couple of games. And the one thing you've got to say is, if you're going to be picking friendlies, you want to have, you know, teams that are going to give you a bit of a game. And certainly with Netherlands and with Italy, which is coming up, of course, tomorrow, you've got two teams there, world-class teams, even though, of course, you know, they've got differing success right at the moment, but these are great friendlies to be doing ahead of the World Cup.
Yes they are, and I agree with you. I mean, I think England have relied too much on Vardy. I think you know, he scored 14 goals, hasn't he, for England, and the last four or five games, apart from Lingard's goal, I think they've had two draws. I mean, it's the first win under Gareth Southgate. They've had two draws, and all the goals has been scored by Vardy. We don't need, all the goals have been scored by Kane. So we need to get goals from other areas of the football pitch, because you're not going to win football matches if you don't score goals. And we can't just rely on one person. But as I say, if the likes of Rashford and Sterling can repeat their club form at international level, where, you know, Sterling's been scoring so freely and playing with so much freedom, you know, there is reason and good reason to be optimistic about the summer.
Yeah, you mentioned that three-man defence with Kyle Walker on the right. But Jesse Lingard, and you've touched on Jesse Lingard there. I'm wondering if he could be a little bit of a surprise package, because no one's been really talking about Lingard ahead of the World Cup. I wonder if he could be a little bit of a surprise package, even though he does play for one of the biggest clubs in the world, that people may just sort of overlook him and teams might not think that he's going to be as good as he is.
Well, there's no doubting about Lingard's ability. What I think is frustrated people is he's not done it on a consistent level. I mean, this season he's been more consistent. He's had more games. There's no doubt in his technical ability, and I think he's ended up having the opportunity because the likes of Welbeck and Sturridge have been injured. Would you still take him ahead of Welbeck if Welbeck was fit? I'm not so sure. I think his inconsistency will be a problem, but I know that if I was Southgate getting close to the World Cup, if Welbeck, certainly Sturridge is not, he's not in the reckoning now for me, but certainly if Welbeck is not consistent from now to the end of the season with playing for Arsenal, then you've got to look at the likes of somebody like Lingard and hope that he can deliver the form that he has shown for Manchester United and deliver the ability that he's got on that stage. And if they start getting together, like you saw the other night against Holland, they were having, you know, Rashford is his teammate and they seem to have, get in that kind of spirit, then that could spur him on to have a really good World Cup.
I sort of tend to agree with you, but I've sort of gone off for Danny Welbeck a bit. I think since his move to Arsenal, he just seems to be, he's just a bit disappointing. This season, I don't think he's really sort of set the world alight. And you look at Jesse Lingard and you say, well, here's a guy that is absolutely in form for his club. There's no doubt about that. 14 goals already this season for Manchester United. I would put him above Danny Welbeck in the pecking order at the moment.
Oh, no, without a shadow of a doubt, like I've always said, you take the players that bang in form. You don't take the players based on what they've done before and based on their stature as a player. You know, at the end of the day, if it was me and I was selecting right now, Jesse Lingard's ahead. I think players have to think. There's a lot of players who make moves and don't really think about where they're moving to in terms of the style of play. Welbeck was always going to struggle at Arsenal the way that Arsenal like to keep the football. He is a direct player. He needs the ball played quicker to him and through the channels for him to use his pace and cause problems. I've seen it with lots of players. You know, Torres leaving Liverpool to go to Chelsea. He doesn't play as a back-to-goal striker. He's not good enough to do that, and that's not his forte, and so he struggled. So, you know, you have to question these players also when they look at going to football clubs and how these clubs play and how that is going to suit his style of play. And Sanchez struggling at Manchester United at the moment.
Yeah, he is. He is struggling at the moment. There's no doubt about that. You mentioned the defence earlier. Obviously, got a few tweaks from Gareth Southgate tactically. That three-man defence with Kyle Walker on the right seemed to reap quite a lot of dividends. With the goal coming from Jesse Lingard. But I'm interested in how hard it is for teams to change when they go to international duty, because certainly in the England's past, it's always been seen as, oh, you know, we've got to play 4-4-2, we've got to play 4-4-2. When it's ever been tinkered with, it's never really sort of worked out for us. Is it hard going from clubs and playing in one particular formation to then going to international duty and trying to fit into a different formation?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. You say that players should be able to adapt to different systems, but it's not being able to adapt to the system, because if you play with your players regularly at your club, then you can adapt to different systems because you know the players and the players know each other. When they come together at international duty, they don't train together week in, week out, so they don't know each other. So it's difficult to change system. But the one thing I do believe is you have to change your system. You have to be brave enough to change your system. And so what Gareth is doing, we know we can play a 4-4-2. There is no team that's going to win an international tournament, whether it's the Champions League, whether it's the World Cup or the European Championship. There's no team going to win it playing a 4-4-2. So you can forget that. So it's being able to play 4-3-3 and then slightly adapting that and then playing three centre-backs. And so I like the fact that he's bringing that early and bringing it into the games, changing the personnel around. I mean, I read a comment by Gareth today, which is quite correct. He doesn't want to take, you know, six defenders or seven defenders because he might want to play four centre-backs, want to play four at the back and then might change to three. What he'd rather do is take people who are versatile to be able to do that, and then he can take more attacking players. And that makes more sense to me. If you've got players who can adapt, like Dyer, like Kyle, like Rashford, like Sterling, you've got a host of systems that you can play that you can adapt your system, and you may have to do that within a game, depending on how the opposition play, and be brave enough to do it as well.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I mean, there's going to be some changes again, I think, for the Italy game tomorrow night. Joe Gomez, Liverpool's a player, he's out. But there's a load. What I do like about this squad is that they've taken in some of the youngsters that have had real great success in European and world competitions in under 17, under 21 level, and people like, you know, the former Leeds United, now Bournemouth's Lewis Cook, possibly looking for his debut. This sort of thing is like, this is fantastic news, not only for like the academy system at Leeds United, but also for the future of England.
No, it is, and it's important, and it's important. These players are playing well, so they've not been selected on the back of, you know, oh, well, we'll just put them in. They might not be at fancy clubs at Bournemouth and at Burnley, but they are playing well, and they're having good seasons, and so they should be given the chance. Now, when you look at the German side that won the World Cup, I think nine of that side, if I'm correct, played in the under-21 side. We look at the success that our youngsters are had in recent terms. How many of those players will progress to play for the national team? Because if they do, and we're getting success at the under-19, under-20 level, then you'd like to think in the next 10 years we'll have a chance of winning the European Championships or the World Cup. But these players have to be playing, and have to be playing in the Premier League, and have to be playing in Europe, because that's how they gain experience. But a lot of the times, like we're looking at the boy Rashford, he's not playing regular football at Manchester United. But we're talking about him going and doing it on the world stage. I think he's got the ability to do it. But he's the experience that he needs to be getting and playing at Man United. But you see, the problem you've got is all of these clubs now, they're under pressure. The managers are foreign. They're not bothered about the English national team, you know. So they're not bothered if the team's full of foreigners. They want to play whatever team they think can win the Premier League title, win the Champions League. You look at your prime example is Jose Mourinho with Lukaku. He didn't play him at Chelsea. If he'd have played him at Chelsea and given him a season, he'd have had a player on his hand. He's ended up going and buying him once he's gone out and got experience at a club where they can afford to play him, as it were. He's just ended up going back and paying, what, 80 million pounds for him.
He's turning into an amazing striker for them this season. There's no doubt about that. Also, the goalkeepers, there was a number of talks, because obviously he's taken a few goalkeepers on these friendlies. I'm not sure if he's set on one of them, but Pickford was in goal for the Holland game. What were your thoughts? Obviously a clean sheet in the Holland game. I think he's pretty much got his one foot on the plane ready ahead for Russia.
I would think so. I think Pickford's had a great season, and I think he'll go to Russia. I still think that Joe Hart will be the number one goalkeeper. I think he knows about Joe Hart, so he doesn't have to pay Joe Hart in these friendlies or whatever. As long as Joe Hart gets some first-team action between now and the end of the season, I think Joe Hart will start the first game in Russia. But then it's the keepers that he takes behind. So I think Pickford's in pole position to go. That is for sure.
Yeah, he certainly seems to be. I mean, he may mix it up for the Italy game. Of course, that is the Italy game next tomorrow. First, I mean, I'm still getting over the shock of Italy not being at the World Cup, really. I mean, what do you expect from them tomorrow night?
Well, they're now in that transitional period now, aren't they, when they haven't qualified, you know, where... You know, it happens at every World Cup. You always find a big nation that misses out at one time or another, and they have to go back to the drawing board and have a look at what's gone wrong, why they haven't qualified, and so forth, and start to put things right. So, you know, I think that's what they'll be doing now, looking to see where the youth is, where they can get their style and brand of football back. I mean, you know, for Italy not to be in a World Cup, that is it's a big, big disappointment. It's sad for the footballing world because, you know, Italy and the World Cup go together, don't they? So it is sad. It'll be a tough game because no matter what happens, the Italians are very proud people. They retain the ball very well. You know, but if you look at recent times, the lad Pirlo's been carrying them in midfield and they've never really... got anybody to take his mantle on. And, you know, you have a golden age at times where, you know, the Scholeses of this world, the Beckhams of this world, the Alan Shearers of this world come along. And then, you know, to try and fill that void isn't always easy sometimes.
I quite agree with you. Off the field in Amsterdam, there was quite a bit of trouble, really. Over 100 arrests made, which, well, it's not good reading, is it, really, ahead of a World Cup, which is also looking, you know, that it could be quite feisty. They've got their own sort of hooliganism problems in Russia. But this doesn't really bode well for England fans now.
Well, it doesn't. Well, don't call them fans. They're not fans. They're not fans at all. They're not going to watch a game of football. They're, you know, it's hilarious. I said to my missus the other night, I said, it'd be interesting now, if there was a war, how many of those would be in the queue to sign up to go and fight for the country, for a just cause? But they're happy to go and throw bottles and, you know, innocent people involved in riots and stuff like that. They're not football supporters. They should be banned, every single one of them, from going to the game. And it just puts a bad light on England. And it's like Gareth Southgate says, we're talking about Russia, and how have we the right to talk about Russia with the way we are still with racism and the way we are still with the way that our supporters conduct ourselves? We have no right to point the finger at Russia. You know, I honestly believe that there'll be no problem in Russia when the World Cup comes about, not unless it's started by other parties like England.
I tend to agree with you. I just fear for it because, as always, it's always the minority of people that get involved in this sort of trouble. But then it just does tarnish the real football fans that travel and watch England home and away.
They're not football fans, like I've said to you. A lot of these people are grown men. They're grown men. Some of them, I know some of these guys have their own businesses, are top businessmen. It's just really crazy. I mean, I knew when I played for Sheffield Wednesday and and Sheffield United and the two sort of big crews that there were, a lot of the guys are in that, run their own businesses, are successful businessmen. And why they have to turn to this kind of behaviour is beyond me. But it's not, they're not football supporters because... as a football supporter, you want to go. You want to go to a game. You want to know that you're going to be safe. You want to take your family. You know. You want to go and watch a game of football. They're not going there to watch a game of football. They get boozed up, and then they're just looking for trouble. And it's sad, really. Like you say, it puts a shame on the old country. And I think we have a team that's going to do us proud in the summer. And we've been doing very well at international level all the way down. And you don't want to be, like we're having a football debate tonight, we don't want to be spending minutes talking about these minorities and these idiots. Like I said to him, if there was a war tomorrow, very few of them would go and sign up to fight for their country when their life was really in danger.
Quite right too, Carlton. Let's just more local football. A couple of your old teams. Let's just talk a bit of Sheffield Wednesday. A lot of experienced players coming back into the Sheffield Wednesday squad now from injury. Likes of Tom Lees recently coming back. Sam Hutchison also having a bit of a boost to the team ahead of that Elland Road display, which is probably. Great result for Sheffield Wednesday. They certainly needed that win. But with that experience coming back between now and the end of the season, that should hopefully just sort of square things up for Wednesday ahead of the battle to stay in the Championship.
No, they won't get relegated this season. They needed to get some of their quality players back from injuries. There's no side that can suffer the amount of injuries that to the senior players that Sheffield Wednesday have had and still continue to get results. I mean, you know, as you say, there are a few of the senior players returning against Leeds. You see them get a good result. I firmly believe they just need to get to the end of the season and there needs to be a big clear out. Still in the Championship, when all the players are fit, they're still not, in my opinion, a side that's going to get into the playoffs and push their way towards automatic promotion. So there needs to be an overall. There needs to be much more of a pace in the side and much more steel in the side all the way through the side. And that needs to be addressed this summer. It needs a massive clear out.
Yeah, another team looking for a clear out most probably would be Leeds United. It's interesting because Pontus Janssen has been a little bit vocal, certainly in the past on his own Twitter and Instagram accounts, but now in a national newspaper in Sweden, he's revealed that he was happy, obviously, at the Championship club, but now he said, we'll see what's happening. I want to hear from the club how to look next year and so on. He's got a 5-year contract at the club. He signed that in October, but it looks like, you know, the one sort of talisman that they have, him and Samu Saiz, you would say, are the two, but Janssen concerned about what's going on at the club and wants some assurances.
Well, I think, to be fair, if I was him, I would have kept my mouth shut. I think he's a decent player. He certainly hasn't had a great season. He hasn't covered himself in any glory. So if you're a Leeds United supporter and you're listening to him saying that, one of the highest paid players at the club just signed a new 5-year contract, you would be disappointed. You know, in all fairness, you know, you know, you'd expect him to be one of the leaders and leading from the back. He hasn't. He's gone under a little bit and shows a lack of character to me, in all fairness. So for him, it's not a case of, you know, maybe Leeds United might be looking and saying, well, if we can get him, if he has a decent World Cup and we can move him on, maybe we'll move you on. Because he hasn't, in the bread and butter Championship as a central defender, it's hard. And you have to be, the central defenders lead the team. The team I played in that, you know, Nigel Pearson led the team. You know, he was a strong individual and that's what you need, strong character. You don't need people like that, when you're having a difficult time, who's been given a 5-year contract that he's just signed recently and been, I believe he's one of the highest paid footballers at the club. You know, you turn around and say, oh, if he was playing well, fair enough, but he's looking and thinking, well, you know, have a decent World Cup, I might get myself a move. But it's the wrong way to be. And I'd be disappointed if I was his manager for the comments he's made.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The sort of fans' reactions are split. You sort of wonder, I suppose what this will do is it will show, well, how actually important is Pontus Janssen to Leeds United? And whether or not, after what Paul Heckenbottom's seen of him in the last month or so, that he's a massive fan of him as well.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. You know, if I was him, I would have kept my mouth shut. You haven't had a great season. If you were playing well and you were one of the shining lights at Leeds United, then fair enough, but you haven't. But he's had a poor season and he's not played anywhere near his best, and that would worry me. A centre-back in the Championship, it would worry me that whether he's got the character and whether you need that type of person when the chips are down. I knew about my captain at Sheffield Wednesday, Nigel Pearson, when the chips were down. We'd be 3-0 down at half-time. He'd be talking about us winning 4-3. That's the type of captain he was.
He's still doing well as well. I think he's managing. Is he still over in Belgium, I think, managing now, isn't he?
Yes, they've got... it was a strange one for Nigel, really. The owners of Leicester have got when everybody was thinking that he may be going back to Leicester as the manager when they got rid of the previous one,
yeah.
They contacted him to go out there and manage the side they've got out there. So he's enjoying that out there and he's getting a bit of experience and whatever. And who knows, maybe he will be back managing Leicester in the future. But he's out there, he's enjoying it, and he's a good manager, he's a good motivator. He gets good people around him who know their jobs, and he knows his job as well.
I just hope he's enjoying mayonnaise with chips, because that seems to be a staple diet whenever you're in Belgium. Carlton, yeah. Let's get a score prediction from you then. England-Italy, what do you reckon is going to happen?
I think England will win again. I'd like to see them amongst the goals, but I think I'm going to go 3-1 to England.
Ooh, overs on the goals from Carlton, 3-1.
I want to see more goals. I want us to get amongst the goals because that's what's going to win you the World Cup. We've got a very attack minded side. We've got a lot of flair in there. The likes of Sterling, you know, they've been amongst the goals this season, Rashford's and people like that. So I want us to be amongst the goals and like not be relying on Harry Kane, and God willing, Harry Kane's fit. You know he's going to score goals. That's a fact. If you create chances, he's going to score goals. So, you know, we need not to be reliant on one person. We need, you know, we don't want people thinking in the team, oh, well, if Harry doesn't play, we're not going to score a goal. But the others need to chip in now.
Carlton, as ever, it's always a pleasure to chat, and we're going to catch up with you around the same time next week.
Okay, thank you. Pleasure.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.